Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touch it up!
Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, as well as our show at Locked On Rockets. And if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya. And if you want to give us some stars and maybe a quick review, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, not one bit. Now that we got that out of the way, today's show is going to be we'll call it a mid-season report card of sorts. Kind of go through each player, go through the coaching staff, just coaching as a whole, and Daryl Morey, and kind of assign some grades as to how they've performed in their respective roles to start this season. We'll also look at some of the team's advanced statistics to this point in the season, as we are basically at the halfway mark of the season. The Rockets have played 42 games now, and past that, we'll also look at the individual stats of the players, kind of some of the reasoning behind the grades that I've assigned, all that sort of stuff. But first, the pertinent news at the top of the show. James Harden has made the All-Star team now 8 times. He's been selected again as a starter for this year's All-Star team, the 2020 team in Chicago. So this is the 8th time he's made the team, 8 straight times as a Houston Rocket. He hasn't missed it since he's been a Rocket, which ties Yao Ming for the 2nd most in Rockets franchise history. Hakeem Olajuwon has the most, obviously, with 12 selections to the All-Star team. This is also James's 4th consecutive year as a starter. So pretty impressive stats there from James Harden. And look, the All-Star game, let's face it, it's basically a glorified popularity contest. I mean, Alex Caruso came in 4th in voting this year from the fans. You know, I think the way that they have split up the voting, you know, via fans and media and players is a little obnoxious, honestly, because fans kind of skew the vote one way, and I think they should definitely have the strength of their vote reduced, honestly. But Russell Westbrook has also been selected as an NBA All-Star player this year. He's not a starter, but he will be an NBA All-Star reserve. And it's kind of fitting that I get to announce this on this podcast, because this is the 69th annual NBA All-Star game, and this is actually my 69th podcast, believe it or not, as the host since taking over for Ben DuBose. So I feel like it's only fitting that it lined up that I do it on today's podcast instead of the podcast that I was supposed to do earlier this week. But, you know, thanks to a little stomach virus, I had to take a DNP, unfortunately. So congrats to James, congrats to Russ. This will actually be the first time that James has a teammate in the All-Star game since Dwight Howard back in the 13-14 season, Dwight's first season as a Houston Rocket. He and James both made the All-Star team that year. But since then, you know, Dwight never made it after that year. Chris Paul never made it. James has never had another All-Star teammate. And again, I already said it, it is kind of like a glorified popularity contest, but there is some weight behind an All-Star selection. To be an All-Star, you have to put up the numbers. And if you're putting up the numbers, chances are you're a good player. You know, players don't get All-Star selections when they're, you know, bench players or when they're not contributing in, you know, some significant fashion to their team. So while it is a popularity contest, I think it's important to note that this is only James's 2nd All-Star teammate as a Houston Rocket in Russell Westbrook. Now, Dwight Howard's play, you know, the last couple of years in Houston, you could say maybe he was still All-Star caliber-ish. Chris Paul, you can make the argument that maybe he should have had an All-Star selection one or two, you know, 1 out of his 2 seasons here in Houston, but he missed a lot of games. Kind of hard to make that argument when you're missing the first, you know, 19 games of the 17-18 season, when you miss a chunk of games the following season as well. So past that, Congrats to James. Congrats to Russ. Should be a fun All-Star game. I'm hoping that they're on the same team. I'm hoping they get drafted to the same team because I feel like that has a chance to be really fun. However, I'm also hoping that James and Luka are not on the same team because I want to see NBA fans' heads melt when James and Luka basically are playing the identical style of basketball across the court from each other, and then fans can't choose whether they want to praise Luka or slander Harden. Because, let's face it, it's the same style of basketball. So it'll be fun in the All-Star game to see Luka and Harden match up against each other if they're drafted to opposite teams. The other starters for the West include LeBron James, who will be the West captain, so he'll be making the selections on that side. Also, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and Luka Doncic. His name gives me trouble. Past that, we've got the Eastern Conference, which includes Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the captain. Kind of obvious on that one. Pascal Siakam, Joel Embiid, Kemba Walker, and Trae Young making his All-Star debut. So congrats to Trae Young as well. He's kind of a baller. I like him. Like him a lot. So this is going to be a fun game. It's going to be a fun All-Star game. Chicago 2020. It's going to be a great game. I like watching the All-Star game. I don't know about you guys. I always have fun doing it. It's fun to see the NBA players kind of relax a little bit and just kind of have some fun out there on the court and not play this, you know, sometimes a hyper intensive brand of basketball. And it's cool to just see athletes go out there and kind of goof around a little bit and have some fun out there on the court without, you know, the stakes being too high. So past that, let's go ahead and jump into our midseason report card of sorts, kind of lay the groundwork for it. In fact, actually, what I'll do first is we're going to roll through some of the advanced stats for the team to start. So with that, the Rockets are actually still third in the NBA in offensive rating, 113.2, behind the Dallas Mavericks, sitting comfortably at number one, 116.4, Bucks at 113.3, so just 0.1 ahead of the Rockets as far as offensive rating is concerned. They've been floating around in the middle of the pack of the league as far as their defensive rating is concerned. They're currently sitting at 109.1, good enough for 15th in the league. And then their net rating, still in the top 10 in net rating, so they're number 8. Directly behind the Utah Jazz, who are at 5.6. Rockets are at 4.1 as far as their net rating is concerned. Past that, their pace hasn't really fluctuated too much this season. They've basically been top three all season as far as pace. Currently, they're sitting at 104.01, directly behind the Milwaukee Bucks again, who are at 105.11. True shooting, they've been in the top 6 to 7 pretty much all season, it feels like. They're sitting at 57.6 true shooting right now. As far as just some more traditional stats, points per game, the Rockets are seconded only by the, what was it? If I could find the right stats page, unfortunately, there it is. Again, seconded only by the Milwaukee Bucks, who are scoring 119.4 points per game. The Rockets are at 118.4 points per game. So as far as some of these stats go, the team is doing pretty well. You know, I think a lot of the issues have been defensive. And we'll get to that in just a second when we start kind of assessing some of these report card grades. And we'll be there in just a moment after a quick word from our friends over at MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, you can try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Getting ready to assign some mid-season report card grades to the players, to Mike D'Antoni, to Daryl Morey. And so we'll start with the glorious bearded leader, James Harden. Now, I didn't go back and forth too much with Harden's grade. Let's face it, he was having a phenomenal season up until his most recent downturn, where he's been in a bit of a shooting slump, obviously. He started the season, his percentages were a little rough. He was putting up the numbers, but on pretty bad efficiency. So he had a few, you know, what was it, 4 to 5 games to kind of start the season that were a little rough around the edges before he really found his shooting stroke. And then as of late, he's had a rough stretch of games. But I don't think that should diminish what he's been able to do this season. I mean, he was averaging almost 40 points a game for a significant chunk of the season. Now his points per game have dropped. He's down to 36.6. So he's still averaging 36 a game, but and I kind of expect that number to go back up. He's been on a downturn, but I think his production will go back up as his shooting percentages improve, which is bound to happen. He's bound to have a bounce back. We already saw it a bit in the Denver Nuggets game. He didn't have a phenomenal shooting game, but he did make it to the charity stripe 13 out of, you know, well, made it to the line 15 times, hit 13 of them. And again, James Harden's game predicated on layups, dunks, three-pointers, free throws. His true shooting percentage is not really going to suffer much. His overall shooting percentage might suffer quite a bit depending on his volume. But as far as his grade, I'm going to drop him an A-. Nobody on the team got an A+. I will go out there and say that right now. Nobody got an A+. But I gave James Harden an A- because he really was having a phenomenal season. I expect him to bounce back pretty quickly. The way that defenses have been dealing with him this season for the first time in his career, you know, this insane number of double teams that he's been seeing on a nightly basis, having to circumvent that, having to find creative ways to score, the stretch that he was on in December shooting, you know, an insane percentage from behind the arc. Just, he has had a great year, and like I said already, I don't think his, you know, his brief stretch to start the season and his recent stretch of poor shooting should diminish the ridiculousness of his season. Now, I don't think there's a chance for him to win the MVP award, unfortunately. I think this recent stretch of rough games may have kind of taken his name out of that conversation, especially with how well Giannis is doing over in the Eastern Conference, unfortunately. But all things said, A- for James Harden. Now, next guy on the list, Russell Westbrook. Westbrook, I did go back and forth with a little bit. I teetered back and forth between B+ and A-. And I landed on A-, and I'll explain why. Westbrook came into the season still injured, not in game shape, and so we didn't get the Russell Westbrook that we expected at the start of the season, right? We expected way more out of him. And so the expectations were so high that when he came in and struggled to start the season, there was kind of an immediate, oh man, was this trade really worth it? Are the Rockets done for? You know, this trade was a mistake. Shouldn't have done it. All, you know, all this stuff. And then slowly but surely, he worked himself into game shape, got his fingers healthy, and we started to see the real Russell Westbrook. But not only that, not only did he get healthy, he completely changed his game, absolutely for the better. When he first came to Houston, it was expected of him to mold himself into more of a Houston Rockets type of player. He was expected to actually come out and essentially, he was expected to come out and shoot more threes, right? He was expected to be the guy to sit on the three-point line, take wide open threes, and that was what Mike D'Antoni and the rest of the coaching staff wanted for him. Now, unfortunately, that didn't really work for Russ. He's not a great three-point shooter. The percentages don't lie. Now, he's having a significantly down year as far as his three-point shooting is concerned this season, and part of that may be because of the volume that he was taking earlier this season, as well as the dislocated fingers on his shooting hand. That probably played into it a bit. But past that, Westbrook's just not a shooter. So what has he done in the last, you know, month or so during this recent stretch where he's played phenomenal basketball? He's limited his three-point shooting to the point that in the last three games, he's only taken one three-point shot, which is actually tied for the longest streak of his career with one or fewer three-point field goal attempts. In addition to that, he's shooting 60% during the same stretch. His field goal percentage for the season is actually at roughly 45%, but it's just a hair over 58% over these last three games. So Westbrook has basically eliminated three-point shooting from his game. He has just said, you know what? I can't hit the threes. I'm not even going to bother it. I'm just going to drive everything into the rim. And then in addition to that, he's also factored in a significant post game to his play, which has made him so lethal in this offense. With the spacing that everybody else provides, he's able to post up smaller guards, which, let's face it, most guards are smaller than Westbrook. So he's able to get his back to the basket, kind of back them down, and then use a little drop step or use a quick spin move or whatever to get himself a shot or to generate a look for somebody else on the team if the opposing defense decides to send help. So Westbrook has completely reimagined his game, the way that he plays basketball, for the betterment of this Rockets team. And for that, I think he deserves an A-. Because again, he came into the season and he could have very easily just kept plucking away, kept shooting three-pointers, you know, said, damn the numbers, I'm just going to play Rockets basketball. But no, he said, this isn't my brand of basketball. I can do something better than this. And that shows that Westbrook not only can be coached, because he came in and he was told shoot threes, and he said, okay, I'm going to shoot threes. And then he realized, I can't do this. So then he made the conscious effort to change the way that he played. So that is an amazing kind of, what I want to say, not discovery, that's not the right word for it. Wow, I'm really drawing a blank on this. We'll just go with that's amazing. How about that? It's incredible that Westbrook was able to, you know, development was the word. That's what I get for doing an early morning podcast. Anyways, it's an amazing development that Westbrook was able to actually kind of reinvent himself as a Houston Rocket and get to the point where he is, you know, uber efficient now. Is he ever going to, you know, be a, you know, 62% true shooting player like James Harden? Probably not. But if he can be, you know, levels of efficient that are better than his usual volume shooting on poor efficiency, then that's huge for the Rockets. Westbrook's averaging, you know, for the season now, 25.3 points, 8.1 rebounds, 7.3 assists, 1.6 steals, half a block a game, about four turnovers a game, with a per of 20.04. He's played 37 games, so he's missed five of them. 35.5 minutes per game. So, A- for Russell Westbrook. And to wrap up this segment, we'll go Clint Capella, who I gave a B, which I think is relatively fair. He's, you know, having a career year as far as rebounding is concerned. He's getting about two more boards per game than he did last season. So he's sitting at 14.1 boards per game, 14.3 points per game, all in 33 minutes, almost two blocks a game, just a bit shy of two. He's 1.8 blocks per game, almost a steal per game at 0.9. A per of 21.14, played in 36 games, so he's missed six of them. His points are a bit down from last season. He was averaging almost 17 points per game last season, but he only had 12 boards per game last season, so I'll take that trade-off. You've got Westbrook, who's scoring a majority of the points now for this team. I'll take that trade-off. Clint Capella's defense has been honestly pretty good this year. He's, you know, matched up well with guards on the perimeter. He's anchored the paint. He's done what the team has asked him to do, and he's played through this heel injury, which is still bothering him. So the fact that he's been able to play through that and kind of keep things moving along and not let it impact his game in any significant fashion is impressive. Now, he does still, you know, struggle from time to time with the really bigger bodied centers and kind of getting tossed around a little bit, but that's just the price you pay for Clint Capella, who's, you know, technically he's a bit of an undersized center at 6'10", but he's also, you know, way more lean, and he runs the court significantly better than any other center in the league, and that's his job. So you can't really expect him to be able to bang with some of the bigger bodied centers in the league and also run the floor the way that he does. It's one or the other. But given the fact that he is the best rim-running center in the league, I think that it's acceptable that he, you know, has a bit of a drop-off in his game somewhere, which includes kind of maybe getting tossed around a little bit by, you know, some of the guys that have a bit more sand in their pants. But overall, a B for Clint Capella at the halfway point of this season. So that's where we'll wrap up this segment. And we'll be back in segment three in just one moment with the rest of the report card grades for the roster, for Mike D'Antoni, and for Daryl Morey here in just one moment. So don't go anywhere. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, as we roll through the report card grades for the Rockets this season, as we are at the 42-game mark, so roughly halfway through the season already. Keep rolling on down the list. We've got Eric Gordon next, who, drumroll, is receiving an incomplete. He just hasn't played enough. I'm not going to judge him. He's only played 19 games, started four, you know, 13.8 points per game. But look, I can't accurately judge Eric Gordon. He just hasn't been around enough. So he's getting an incomplete grade as far as this assessment goes. Need to see a bit more out of him before I can truly assess how he's doing. Although I will say he did really well in that Denver Nuggets game. That was a great sign to see. It's the first time that they've had Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Eric Gordon all play well together in the same game because they were all finally healthy, on the same page. They all had a great game together. And look, the Rockets were pretty dominant in that game. So that was awesome. Next on the list, we've got Daniel House Jr., who I'm going to give a C. My reasoning behind that is that, look, he came into the season and he played really well to start things off, was shooting lights out from behind the three-point line. And then suddenly, obviously, he had the kind of hodgepodge of injuries, the back, the hip, the head injury. He was the shoulder, too. He was getting hammered left and right. Part of me doesn't know if he knows how to fall down properly. But Daniel House was, you know, suffering from the little mix and match set of injuries and kind of came back after, I forget which one the most recent injury was, but came back and just hasn't been the same since returning. He did have kind of that downtrend where he and PJ Tucker were both producing, you know, not even the bare minimum. They were below what their expected floor should be as far as production goes. But right now, I mean, he's, you know, down to 36.4% three-point shooting. And I don't know, he started the year so hot and then kind of just leveled out a little bit. So maybe the expectations were set a little bit too high. But we saw this last season too, during the stretch where he started, you know, for the Rockets, started 12 games. The Rockets went 9-3. He played phenomenally and then, you know, left the lineup for a little while. There was the contract dispute. He comes back. He's not nearly the same player that he was. Yes, you can maybe blame the foot injury that he had going into the playoffs, but maybe inconsistency is just where Daniel House is at as a player. Maybe we can't expect a full season of that production that we got in the earlier part of the season. But as it stands right now, as far as teams that have, you know, championship aspirations, Daniel House is probably one of the weakest small forwards across the board. Somebody was tweeting about it the other day and, you know, kind of put out some numbers. And I apologize, I can't remember who it was, but Daniel House, you know, as far as starting small forwards go, is definitely probably one of the weaker links across many of the other teams that are seeking a championship this year. So I'm going to give him a C. I'd like to see his production kind of get back up to where it was to start the season. Do I think that's possible? I don't know. But we'll see. You know, maybe if he can start trying to take some guys off the dribble a little bit more, that's something that's sorely missing out of some of the Rockets' wings, which he was doing a bit earlier this season. He was taking guys off the dribble. He was being a good secondary facilitator. I want to say there were some games earlier this season where he had 2, 3, or even 4 assists just by, you know, being the kind of secondary option on offense, or being the secondary action on offense by driving the ball in, faking the three-pointer, and then getting a clean look at a three for somebody else, or, you know, a lob for Clint Capella or something to that effect. So maybe if he can incorporate a bit more of that into his game. Keeping on with the list, we've got Ben McLemore, who I gave a B-. I think Benny Mac and Threes has actually kind of slid into this Rocket system, and he's done exactly what is expected of him. He's come in, he shoots a lot of threes, he makes a decent chunk of threes. He's shooting right now 37% from behind the arc on 6.7 attempts per game. Pretty good numbers for Ben McLemore. He's averaging 10 points a game right now. I mean, what more can you want out of him? He does exactly what you want, which is shoot the basketball. And he seems to be the one Rocket, besides maybe Eric Gordon, who, again, not a big enough sample size yet, I don't think, who shoots without any hesitation out of all the role players. He catches the ball and he just lets it fly. And that's what's sorely needed in this Rockets offense. And he's kind of filled the void for Gerald Green. So Ben McLemore, B-. PJ Tucker, I'm going to roll with a C+. PJ gets asked to do a lot of the dirty work. He has to, you know, be the small ball five against some truly big centers in this league. And he does all the dirty work for the Rockets. He rebounds, he hustles, he is the heart and soul behind this team. Now, do I wish that PJ was a little bit less hesitant As far as shooting, absolutely. Do I wish that his minutes could go down so that maybe he could have some fresher legs, so that he could be a more consistent offensive threat from behind the arc? Absolutely. But as it stands, and that kind of falls into the coaching category that we'll get to in just a moment, but as it stands, PJ Tucker, C+. I think that he does everything that he's asked to do, but I do think that his production at the four spot, at least offensively, needs to be a little bit better to keep defenses honest. Because when Harden or Westbrook generate a look for PJ in the corner or at the top of the key or wherever it may be, and he's passing up on open three-point looks, the offense then sputters a bit. Because if you're passing up wide open looks in this Rockets offense, then it resets, and then James has to drive again, or Russ has to drive again, and then maybe you don't get as good of a look the second time around. So if my one issue with PJ Tucker is I wish he was a little bit less hesitant when it came to shooting the ball, and ideally didn't have the stretches that he goes through where his, you know, three-point percentage does dip a little bit. Now, obviously he's got the shoulder stinger right now, so that's kind of something that's been ailing him. So it's a bit understandable as of late why his shooting has struggled, but he was struggling to shoot the ball even before that shoulder stinger happened. Who else do we have on the roster now? Let's go Chris Clemens. You know what? I'm going to lump a few guys together. We're going to do Chris Clemens. We'll do Tabla Cephalosha and Tyson Chandler. Look, they all got Ds. Clemens doesn't get enough burn and has obvious weaknesses as far as, you know, the defense side of the basketball. Yeah, he can be, you know, lightning in a bottle offensively, come off the bench, you know, drain a couple threes, but Mike D'Antoni doesn't give him, you know, the time of day to maybe make that impact. He's basically just a garbage time player at this point. Tabla Cephalosha and Tyson Chandler, I have been completely underwhelmed with this season, unfortunately. You know, I was expecting those guys to be able to come in and, you know, not be impact players, but I was expecting at least, you know, 10 minutes a night out of each of them to be, you know, consistent veteran influences. But it feels like we haven't even gotten that. And part of that is Mike D'Antoni and his rotations. Tabla Cephalosha has played in a few games recently and has had looked decent. But I don't think he's going to be, I don't think either of them are going to be significant contributors come playoff time, which is what I was kind of hoping that they could be. You know, obviously you cut the rotations a bit come playoffs, but Tabla Cephalosha especially, I was hoping that he could come in and be that lengthy wing who could also shoot threes at a consistent clip to kind of shore up the Rockets' wing situation, and that just hasn't been the case. So all three of those guys are getting Ds as far as their grades go. Austin Rivers, I'm going to have to roll with a C- on, unfortunately. Look, he provides some really great on-ball defense, and his driving ability is really nice at times in this offense, but we've seen points where when it's Rivers and Westbrook on the court together that they don't mesh, because essentially you've got two non-shooters on the court, and then if you also factor in having maybe Clint Capella or like Isaiah Hartenstein or Tyson Chandler out there with them, then suddenly you've got three non-shooters on the court. And I say non-shooter, Rivers isn't, you know, he shoots threes, but not a really reliable percentage. He's shooting 31.5% this season. That's just not great in the Rockets system. You know, he's never been a phenomenal three-point shooter, but again, it's kind of tough for me to want to give him a higher grade than that, because in a system that requires you to be at least a reliable three-point shooter, it's really hard to shoot 31.5% in this Rocket system. So C- for Rivers. Isaiah Hartenstein, I'm giving a B- as well. Hartenstein has shown in limited minutes that he is capable of being a contributor to this team. Now, it's still mind-boggling that he doesn't get more playing time than he does, because as it stands right now, I mean, his per 36 numbers were off the chart. Now, per 36 is kind of a wacky stat to use at times, but when you're making an argument for a player who should be getting more playing time, it works out. I don't have the per 36 numbers in front of me, unfortunately. I forgot to have them pulled up before I started recording this segment, but anybody who watches Isaiah Hartenstein play can, you know, sit here and tell you, yeah, he should be getting more minutes. It's silly that Mike D'Antoni doesn't play him more, which will factor into MDA's grade so far. Past that, I think that's actually everybody on the active roster. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. Oh, yeah, Michael Frazier. He is truant because he's only played in four games. So he doesn't get a grade either, just like Eric Gordon. And then lastly, we'll go Gary Clark, who unfortunately has become a transfer student and now plays for the Orlando Magic. So I cannot assign him a grade. I think that covers all the players, which leaves us Mike D'Antoni and the coaching staff, and then Daryl Morey. So I'll go Daryl Morey first. And I think, and I'm going to kind of extend Daryl's season past just the start of the NBA season, and kind of, because Daryl's season really starts, right, in free agency. And so I'm going to give Daryl a C+ as it stands right now, because I'm giving credit to Daryl for the Russell Westbrook trade, but I'm also kind of knocking him for the lack of acquisitions this past offseason. And the fact this team has some serious issues in its roster. It's got some serious holes in the roster. And he still has time to kind of shore up the roster before the trade deadline, using the buyout market, things like that. So his season isn't over. You know, he can still improve his grade or his standing in my eyes, as well as everybody else's. But that requires him to actually do something. We've got that empty roster spot. Mr. Gary Clark, who got transferred to the Orlando Magic, transferred schools, you know, that roster spot's been sitting there, and Daryl has yet to do anything with it. Now, obviously, the buyout market is, you know, slim pickings right now, but then why did you have to get rid of Gary Clark? That's all I'm saying. It was obviously a luxury tax motivated move, and I think the whole guise of the Rockets just wanted flexibility for that spot, no, that's kind of BS at this point, and I think that's very clear to everybody. So Daryl Morey gets a C+ right now. He still has to make some moves, I think, to kind of fix up some of the holes in this roster. I think the Rockets definitely need at least one more wing before they get to the postseason. Now, whether or not that happens remains to be seen. So lastly, we've got Mike D'Antoni, who I came very, very close to giving an F to. Came very close. So it's kind of a good thing that I saved this mid-season report card podcast for today and didn't do it before the Denver Nuggets game, because in the Nuggets game, we saw a different brand of Rockets basketball. We saw them focus heavily on driving. We saw them, you know, not settling for these wide open three-pointers. We saw them aggressively driving to the basket. Again, it took them almost 6 minutes to shoot their first three in the first quarter. They only shot 29 three-pointers on the night. They were 13 to 29 for almost 45%, 44.8%. And I'm crediting Mike D'Antoni with this. I'm crediting him with the change in that game specifically to focus on the other side of Morey ball, which doesn't get a lot of love sometimes, which is the layups and dunks aspect of Morey ball. Sometimes the Rockets fall a little bit too much in love with the three-point shot. And what did they do? They cut back on it. After a game in which James Harden shot 1 of 17 from behind the arc, Harden only shot 6 three-pointers. It was a team, not a team high. Eric Gordon was the team high with 8 threes. But then you had Harden with 6 three-pointers in that game, Tucker with 6 three-pointers. They both hit a pair of them. Tucker hit 2 of 6, Harden hit 2 of 6, Gordon hit 6 of 8. So they didn't fall in love with a 3 in this game, and they were aggressive, they got to the paint. They were scoring easily. The team just looked better. And I'm crediting Mike D'Antoni with that. So I'm going to give him a D for now. I'd still like to see better rotations. I'd like to see Isaiah Hartenstein get some minutes. And I've still got some serious issues with Mike D'Antoni as the coach of the Rockets. But I think he deserves credit for that change, for the idea to focus less on threes in that game and come out and actually be aggressive driving to the rim. And we actually saw some plays being run in that game. We saw, you know, and they weren't just out of timeout plays. They were, you know, we saw a lot more dribble handoff. We saw, you know, some through hold plays from Westbrook where, you know, Westbrook is in the post. Eric Gordon does the little flash where he either goes towards the basket or cuts out to the 3-point line for a wide open three with a pick near the free throw line. That game inspired me a little bit to see, you know, what is capable of what Mike D'Antoni is capable of, rather than just giving the ball to James Harden and Russell Westbrook and letting them do their thing. So MDA is going to get a D for now, and I really hope that he's able to change my mind and everybody else's moving forward with the rest of the season. So I think that's where we'll wrap things up for today. Now, a quick reminder, later tonight, because this podcast will be out any minute once I finish recording it, later tonight, this Friday evening, the Rockets play the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we will be having a Rockets Twitter watch party over at Lucky's Pub off of Westheimer. So definitely be there. I will be there. Ben DuBose will be there. Lots of other Rockets Twitter people will be there. You definitely don't want to miss it. I may be bringing a mic and my laptop to try and record a live podcast. We will see about that. I still haven't hammered out the logistics behind it, but I might try my hand at it. We will see. So you don't want to miss it. Come out, hang out, have a good time, have some drinks. It'll be a fun evening with a bunch of Rockets people. So you do not want to miss it. So that's where we'll cut things off for today. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. So for this January 24th episode, this is where we will break. Thank you for listening, and I hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.